They have heard, and CBS has been reporting that Donald Trump yesterday signed an executive order rescinding President Obama's executive order on transgender kids and school bathrooms. This has been extremely controversial, to say the least, with people speaking out about it all over the country, including here locally. We're joined now in the studio by Carver Romero, Lydia Lavelle, who's coming in a day early this week, first of all, but we are also joined by a very special guest who happens to be in town at an opportune moment, I guess, to talk about this here on the air today. He's the legal director for the National Center for Lesbian Rights. He worked in the Obama administration. He has been an attorney on many, many landmark LGBT rights cases, including perhaps most notably, but not in any way all-inclusive, the case in California that overturned Proposition 8 several years ago. Shannon Minter here in the studio with us today. So, Mayor Shannon, thanks to both of you for being here.
Yeah, we're happy to be here, and I'm happy to turn it over to Shannon, our special guest.
All right, Shannon, thanks for being here.
You bet. I'm thrilled to be here, Aaron.
So, what is it that brought you to Chapel Hill? We're here with Mayor Lavelle, who's also an NCCU law professor. So, you were speaking with the law class earlier today, right?
Yeah, I was speaking with Mayor Lavelle's class, and then I'll be in Greensboro tomorrow for a CLE, a continuing legal education course on housing law for LGBT people.
And the discussion today was sort of what to expect in the next sort of 3.9 years during the Trump administration. So what lessons should we be taking forward in terms of what to expect in the next 4 years?
Well, unfortunately, I think we need to expect the worst. You know, we're coming from the presidential administration that was by far the most supportive of LGBT equality and dignity in history to administration that is just the opposite, that is populated by officials who are extremely antagonistic to our interests.
And other than Donald Trump occasionally, like every couple of months, saying how much he loves LGBT .. Q people, in speeches and in statements, is there any reason to have hope going forward in terms of what we can expect from the administration at least?
Not much, Aaron. There really isn't. There have been reports, I think the New York Times reported this, that Betsy DeVos herself in the Department of Education mm-hmm. apparently is actually personally supportive of LGBT people. You know, I have no reason to doubt that, but I think what we've seen right out of the gate is she put up no meaningful resistance when Jeff Sessions, our new attorney general, who is viciously hostile to LGBT people, insisted on enacting a policy that is really going to be devastating for transgender students. And Betsy DeVos went along with it.
And let's talk about that executive order. First of all, this isn't anything that we didn't expect to happen. I mean, this was something that was talked about during the campaign. This was one of the things that we talked about when the executive order first came down from President Obama, that it lasts only as long as the presidency decides to maintain it, so the next administration could rescind it, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. What happens going forward now? You've got this. You've got the statement from President Trump saying, and Betsy DeVos in her official statement saying the same thing, and supporters of this executive order saying the same thing, that this just returns the issue back to individual states and individual school districts. They're trying to make this into a states' rights issue, which is all well and good until you start talking about something that's a fundamental human right, and that's what this seems to be here.
Yeah, I mean, that's all so ridiculous. I will just say that we were disappointed by this and did not see this as a foregone conclusion. I mean, you know, Trump during the campaign made some statements that, as far as he was concerned, transgender people should be able to use whichever bathrooms they want or bathrooms that correspond to their identity. And we understand from the limited information that we have about what's going on inside the administration that there was some very serious opposition internally to doing this. And we actually were very hopeful that they would leave this guidance in place. So this is a blow, and I'm afraid it's a sign of things to come. But yeah, the states' rights argument is nonsensical. I mean, this is a federal statute. And they're not even disputing that the statute protects transgender students in other respects. So to carve out this one issue, and they kind of just throwing up their hands and saying, look, we're not going to tell schools or students what we think the statute means. when it comes to transgender students in bathrooms, which is a very strange position to take and a real abdication of their responsibility.
Speaking with Shannon Minter again, legal director for the National Center for Lesbian Rights, say more about that, because we're talking about statutory interpretation here. This is the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Education Amendments of 1972, both of which are federal laws that ban discrimination on the basis of sex, among other things. And sort of the question here is, does that word sex also include sexual orientation and gender identity? That's sort of what's been at issue with the executive order from the Obama administration, the interpretation by Loretta Lynch, and now Jeff Sessions and Donald Trump here. So where do things stand as far as that goes?
Yeah, I mean, people should understand that the guidance that the Department of Education put out under President Obama was very comprehensive. It wasn't just about bathrooms. It said that Title VII requires schools to treat transgender students equally in all respects, and that means respecting their gender identity, using the right pronouns, using their preferred names, treating a transgender boy as a boy and a transgender girl as a girl, and just across the board in all respects, including bathrooms. What is so peculiar about what just happened in the Department of Education is they only withdrew the portion of the guidance that specifically relates to restrooms. So they're not disputing that Title VII protects transgender students. They really did just do this rather bizarre thing of carve out this one area and kind of throw up their hands and say, well, we're just not going to tell you what we think Title IX means when it comes to restrooms. I'm really not sure how that's going to work as a practical matter as this goes on down the road.
That's bizarre to me, because that, and tell me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't seem to make any legal sense. Like, it would make more sense if they just rescinded the whole order and said, just blanket declaration, the word sex doesn't cover gender identity. They're saying it does cover gender identity, except in the most private and pivotal place in the entire school.
Yeah, this really makes no sense. I mean, I can only think that they made some kind of political calculation that if they took the more extreme position that the law doesn't protect transgender students at all, that they would look so horrible and so callous that they thought it would be too costly politically, or this may reflect the kind of internal battle they had and some kind of sort of unprincipled compromise that came out of that. But boy, as a legal position, it makes no sense. It's not rational. And I do think it creates some potential vulnerability for this thing to be challenged in courts, because on the face of it, it is so deeply incoherent and irrational.
I was going to say, is this another executive order they just didn't run by legal first?
Definitely. You're joking, but I think it was not. I think they really didn't think this one through very well at all.
I mean, there's a precedent set for it already in the first couple weeks of the administration, so it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, what's so clear is this wasn't a legal decision. This wasn't based on looking at the law. This is pure politics, and it was so plainly driven, as we know from the prolific leaks coming from the administration. It was driven by Sessions.
So speaking with Shannon Minter again with the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and now I've got to ask what happens in the courts next, because I've got this great question all written out, because I honestly hadn't read the full executive order and didn't compare it to the previous one, that the courts would have to rule that sex necessarily covers sexual orientation and gender identity in order to strike this down, which would be a difficult case to make, or that the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause, or the Due Process Clause has larger protections for trans people that the courts have applied yet. But it sounds like the courts could make a pretty minimalistic ruling that this is just legally incoherent.
Yeah, in terms of a direct challenge to this action, I think it could be more narrow. And I think in addition to being irrational and incoherent, and sort of related to that, I think it obviously reflects just bias or animus against transgender people, which also makes it vulnerable to challenge.
So what's next? This is going to get challenged in the courts here fairly soon. I know there's already court cases, the Gavin Grimm case in Virginia, which is making its way to the Supreme Court even as we speak. How is all of that affected now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough decision that has to be made. This thing should be challenged in court. That said, it's a kind of a tough call given that the Grimm case is in front of the Supreme Court, and presumably they're going to issue a ruling in that in the not too distant future, and that would just resolve this whole matter once and for all. So, you know, it remains to be seen whether anyone is going to devote the resources and time and energy to challenge this order under those circumstances. But we don't know yet for sure either whether the Supreme Court's going to keep the Grimm case and issue a ruling. I sure hope they do. I think they will. I think they should. But it is possible that they would decide to send it back to the Fourth Circuit now.
Does this executive order, does the fact that we have a new president and a new attorney general affect how the Supreme Court might rule in the Grimm case? I was always under the impression that the courts were always sort of deferent in statutory interpretation to the executive, and the changing of the executive means the courts might rule differently, but I don't know if that's true.
Well, yeah, and so the deal is the court took review of two questions, and one is whether the federal courts need to defer to the Department of Education's guidance. That question has now is gone. That question is moot. The guidance at issue has been withdrawn, so the court will not be addressing that question. But they also accepted cert on the second, really more important question, which is, does Title IX protect transgender students, including with respect to restrooms? Now, that question is still completely live, present, you know, and that's the one that we really hope the court keeps. Like, we hope they keep the case and decide that question, and we feel good about our chances if they do reach that issue. And look, if we get a positive ruling in this case, you know, this what the Trump administration just did becomes completely irrelevant.
And all of this is sort of still in the air and uncertain and being fought out in the courts and executive orders and going back and forth, because we've got this anti-discrimination law on the books that has been on the books since 1964, been more than 50 years with this, that includes protection against discrimination on the basis of sex, but doesn't, as they said in Idaho, it doesn't add the four words. It doesn't include sexual orientation, and it doesn't include gender identity. There are states across the country that have done that. North Carolina is not one of them, and the federal government hasn't done it either. So is this ever going to get resolved until those four words are actually added to the federal statute?
It could, yeah, sure. I mean, look, if we get the U.S. Supreme Court interpreting Title IX in the public school context and Title VII in the employment context to include or prohibit discrimination against gay people and transgender people, against LGBT people, that is every bit just as good as a federal statute that adds those four words.
And there is some precedent for it. There's the, what is it, the Price Waterhouse case from 1989? Or is it 84?
It's 1989,
yeah. 1989, right, yeah. So for people who are just jumping into this conversation, what is the precedent for a ruling like that?
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court precedent would be primarily the Price Waterhouse case, where the court held that the term sex in Title VII has to be construed really broadly to prohibit any and every type of sex-based discrimination, including discrimination based on gender nonconformity. So that's obviously very, very helpful for transgender people and also for gay people. But what we're also seeing is the lower federal courts have just overwhelmingly, like just about every single federal court in the past 10 years that has had to decide a case about whether Title IX or Title VII protects gay or transgender people has concluded that, yes, it does, that there's just no principled way to carve that those types of sex discrimination out of the law.
And that Price Waterhouse case was discrimination against a woman, not because she was a woman, but because she didn't dress the part, right?
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
So, okay, so again, speaking with Shannon Minter and sort of looking ahead at future court cases and this getting to the Supreme Court, what is your hope for a positive resolution there?
Well, I hope so much that the court will keep this case, will reach the core issue of whether Title IX protects transgender students. And of course, I hope that they rule that, yes, it does. I mean, if that happens, we will have just leapt forward in such a dramatic way. I mean, that will be a definitive ruling that pretty much puts that issue to rest for our country, the same way that Obergefell put to rest the question of whether same-sex couples have the right to marry. I mean, that will mean that in all of our nation's public schools, transgender students have to be embraced and accepted, including when it comes to using sex-separated facilities.
I want to bring in Lydia Lavelle, because I've had you here in the studio for 15 minutes and haven't asked you anything, which is a huge record. But what are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, I'll say a really tangential thought, if I may, because I haven't studied the executive board order since it came out last mm-hmm. night, and I learned a little bit here during this discussion, and I'm aware lately of the compromise HB2 resolution that's been proposed, and it strikes me that they both try to maybe give an offer, like give some protection mm-hmm. to the transgender community, because in the HB2, I think that local municipalities could still pass non-discrimination ordinances
right.
that are inclusive of gender identity, gender expression, but neither will go so far as entering the restroom or the locker room or something like that. So that really strikes me that both of those kind of don't go as far as they could, but they still lack enough to make them nonsensical. Really.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's trying to resolve the political issue without touching on the fact that this is an issue of rights.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Speaking again with Lydia Lavelle and Shannon Minter, and Shannon, we got to let you go in a second, but what else do people need to know about this that we have not touched on?
Well, look, I'm so glad we're talking about the Grimm case, and I just hope everyone is paying as close attention as possible, and we need everyone to help us create a positive environment for the Supreme Court to rule. So the more attention we can focus on this case, and the more that the court and public officials can hear that people really care about what happens to transgender students and that they really want the court to do the right thing in this case, you know, that will help.
What's a meaningful way to pay attention?
Keep up with what's going on in the case, and you know, the usual, like write letters to your newspaper, call into show radio shows, talk to your friends and family and neighbors, a lot of exactly the same kinds of public education activities and conversations that people did so well around the freedom to marry. Now we really need the community to rally around transgender students and have that same level of engagement.
How can people find out more about you and your work at the center?
Oh, they can go to our website at nclrrights.org. Or, you know what, I would be happy to hear from anybody. You can reach me directly at 415-624-6071.
All right, Shannon Minter and Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.